Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
You guys good? I like looking into people's eyes. Let's pray. Grab a hand. If you're next to someone and you want to do pre-marriage counselling and you want to date them, squeeze it twice. You got to sit strategically. That's how you get people together, Jess and Alex, hey? When we went to Bible college, it was people like, this is bridal college. And it worked for you two. Come on. Now let's pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for today. I thank you for this house, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing here. We just honor your presence here this morning, God. Thank you that you are in the room. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help everyone in this room to know that I am right. you would be, may we encounter your presence, Lord. May we encounter you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm only joking. Awesome. Yes, from the sanctuary in Lilydale, God's promised land. I call it the promised land of God over there. It's just amazing part of the world. We're in the wine region. And so it's just, yeah, a lot of fun out there, what God's doing. We're nearly 6 years old as a church. And we planted it from our living room with about 50 people. And we've been through some challenges and, you know, through COVID and the whole shebang. But what God's doing, he's just so faithful. He is so faithful in what he's doing. I think last year we saw Leroy stand up. So this Lee and his brother are about 6 foot 12. And I think they just saw five people saved in Mornington 2 days ago. Down there, but they saw the team. You can grab a seat, mate. I just wanted to show how tall you were. You know, we did a thing. Actually, we did it with Dan too, where we did a stairway to Hagen. I think Jaleel was there, and I was at the bottom, and then it was the stairway to Hagen. It's the stairway to Leroy. but. We probably saw 150 people saved on the streets last year alone, I think. And what God's doing in Lilydale is just incredible. And it's just fun. Isn't it fun to be a part of what God wants to do? I just want to honour Jess and Alex and Dan in this house. You know, there's a lot of people that have opinions in the Christian world. And to me, opinions are like noses. Everyone's got one and they've got a couple of holes in them. You know, and they generally smell. And so, but I just love what God's doing here. I love what's happening here in this house. And as we're in worship, I just felt, Jess and Alex, that you guys are already doing this, but you guys are entering into a season of mothering and fathering like you've never experienced before. And so don't be surprised if you're taking your hands off of things more and more and lifting up sons and daughters in the house. And I just heard the word longevity over this house, that this house is going to be here for the long haul, and there's a longevity that is supposed to be a part of this house. And I just think you guys are going to steward that superbly, and you already are doing that. And so I just thank you. Thank you for being in our city. And thank you for having me here. And it's always such an honour to preach anywhere, whether it's for one or for a few hundred or whatever. So can you guys honour Alex, Pastor Alex and Pastor Jess? Awesome. My wife was going to be here, but we've got a 12-week-old and she woke up and said, I don't think I'm coming. So we've also got three other kids. So there's four girls. So they're nearly 11, nearly 9, nearly 6, and then a 12-week-old. Our 12-week-old Zoe, she's got a mullet. I'm legit. She has got so much hair, and she's got a little mullet going on. And I don't know how that happened, but anyway, praise God. All right, let's get into it. For those that don't know me, I'm going to just share a very, very brief testimony about my life very quickly. So I was lost and now I'm found. That's it. That's all you get. No, I didn't grow up in the Christian world. I didn't grow up in church. Abusive background. Moved out of home when I was 14. Gave my life to Jesus when I was 15. But before ministry, I was a semi-professional soccer player in Europe. And so I played over there for a couple of years and played in America as well. And when I was 21, so just before I met Jess and Alex, I was playing in America and the Lord spoke to me and he said, Liam, I want you to go home, go back to Australia. And at the time, I had an offer from a club in France, an offer from a club in Belgium. And I was like, is there anyone else up there that's got any other thought about this, you know, decision to go home? But I knew it was the voice of God. I knew it was the Lord. I got saved when I was 15. But so I prayed and I fasted for a month because I was like, I don't know if this is the right decision. But anyway, long story short, we ended up coming home on the plane. And on the plane ride home, I said to the Lord, God, if I'm coming back to be a pastor, because I had an inkling that might be the case and be in ministry, I don't just want to sit in row 5 and attend church. I want to see everything in this book come alive. I want to see everything in this book become a reality in my life. And at 21, I had a radical encounter with the Lord that totally changed the trajectory of my life and got radically free of pornography, radically free of father issues and a whole bunch of stuff. But it was the greatest decision I ever made, besides giving my life to Jesus, was coming home. Because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And this one thing I want to share with you guys this morning, and I really believe what the Lord's doing here, what the Spirit's doing here this morning is do you know Him personally? Do you know Him deeply? I was mowing the lawns a couple of weeks ago on a ride-on and the Lord said, my first revival, my first move of God had no opposition attached to it. And I said, what do you mean, Lord? And He said, Adam and Eve, there was no opposition. It was purely out of love. Travailing. There was no demon there. There was nothing. God's first move was purely out of love because He wanted intimacy with you. Okay, that's good. You know, I've shared this before in our church and other people have used probably similar analogies. If I go into a restaurant and I look at the menu and peruse the menu and, you know, me and my wife, we're looking at the menu, looking at the steaks, looking at whatever's on the menu, and we get up and leave, we've never partaken of the meal. And sadly, a lot of Christians, they're saved. I'm not talking about salvation. They're in the kingdom, but they're in the kingdom living like an orphan. They're in the kingdom and they're looking at the menu and they're like, oh, I'll leave that meal for the professionals. Or I'll leave that for someone else. And you never partake of the meal. You never take a bite of the steak or have a drink of the wine or whatever it is. Because you're satisfied with, hey, I know this much, but I just really feel like I just heard the Lord say that it's time to get your scuba diving gear on and to go deep with the Lord. Come on. I love what Alex or Jess or someone was saying about staying current with the voice of God. You know, if Abraham hadn't been current with Isaac, he would have killed his son. If Abraham hadn't been current with God, he would have killed his son. We have to stay current to the voice of God. And this thing of love, of I remember I was in a meeting once with a bunch of, we were at a pastor's, breakfast or something, and someone posed the question, it might have been me, I can't remember who, but someone posed the question and they said, how is your relationship with God? Right? Great question. And all of these pastors and ministers, one by one, and I've done this, right? So I'm not, this isn't a criticism. But all these pastors begin to say, oh, we've got, you know, these programs in our church that are happening. We've got 400 people in our building on Sunday mornings. We've got 250 people got saved last week. We've got all these baptisms that are taking place. We've got all these new courses that are happening. And I just remember listening and I said, the question was, how is your walk with the Lord? Not what are you doing for God? Right? And I remember getting to the end and I was grieved because I was like, man, you can walk. I remember being in Bible college and we were doing these combined youth rallies with different churches. And we were seeing incredible things. I remember when I had that 5-hour encounter with the Lord, I remember getting such a hunger for healing. So I used to stand and go into Maroondah Emergency Center and stand out the front there. I think I went twice and they kicked me out. But because I was like, well, I need to find sick people. If I want to see people healed, I've got to find sick people. Well, where are sick people? At the hospital. So let's go there. So we went there, got kicked out. We were seeing people get out of wheelchairs. We were seeing people get off crutches. I remember this one story with Chris Farachi. If you remember Chris Farachi? So, and I've shared this before, but this kid came to us at Doncaster Shopping Centre and he had moles all over his face. He was a Muslim and he said, hey, can you pray for my moles to be removed? Now, I had no faith for that, right? I was like, yeah, well, it's the God of the impossible, so let's pray. But we prayed. A month later, I was back doing outreach in Doncaster and this kid comes running up and he says, hey, do you remember me? And I said, no, I don't remember you. And he says, I'm the kid with the moles. And I said, well, you're not the kid with the moles anymore. What happened? And he said, I went home, washed my face in water, and all the moles dropped off in the sink. Right? Come on. He gave his life to the Lord. It was awesome. He got plugged into a local church there, and I hope he's still on fire for the Lord. That's a long time ago. But we were seeing incredible stuff in our home. Miracles were breaking out in our home, like glory cloud, oil down walls, incredible stuff. I knew none of this was a thing in the Christian world. Remember, I'm like 5 years saved. I don't know anything about this. We're seeing all these things take place, and the Lord taps me on the shoulder one day after a few years, and he says, Liam, I miss you. And it changed everything. Not because people preach, oh, it's, we need purity above power and all those things. And it's like, no, we need the power of God and we need the character of the Lord in our lives. It's not one or the other. We need both. But you can have power without knowing Him personally. You can be in the same room as your spouse and never become intimate with your spouse. Come on. What a bummer. John 17, this is eternal life, that you know God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. The Lord spoke to me after that moment where He says, I miss you. He said, Liam, I'm looking for a generation that I can be myself around. I'm looking for a generation that I can be myself around. I've got this picture on my Bible that our associate pastor's wife drew. It's phenomenal. On my iPad, I mean. Look at that. I love that story of where Jesus touched the hem of his garment and Jesus in the middle of the crowd and it says that he felt power go out of his body. How close do you have to be with God that when someone touches your clothing, the power gets released? That's delicious. That is so good. How close do you have to be with the Lord that your shadow, I mean, that's amazing. That Peter's shadow heals people. Have you ever tried to do it? With the shadow, like get the sun right? And we've had kids in our youth ministry try to do it, but turn with me to John 4. I'm going to open the Bible, Ash. To me, the greatest gift besides the Holy Spirit in the Christian world is that God can take an unholy person, make them holy, and send them back into an unholy world to transform that world. That's one of the greatest gifts, I think, that he takes an unholy person and he makes them holy. And then he says, all right, I want you to be so possessed with me that you go back into an unholy world and transform it. And I'm telling you right now, there are a lot of people in the Christian world. There are a lot of things taking place. There's a lot of shift and change that's happening. And we've got to be really careful that we don't promote our ministries. We don't promote our programs. We don't promote anything above him. There is only one on the throne, and it's not the Sanctuary Church. It's not Fire Church. It's not Bethel. It's not Todd White. It's Jesus. There was only one person that was worthy enough to break the seal, and that was him. And this is my question. Do you know him? Who knows Lionel Messi? No, you don't. You know about him. You know about him. You don't know him. Man, it's the how amazing that every single person that reads this book can know the author. That's brilliant. God's a genius. He's a genius. All right, John 4, the woman of the well. Are you there? Samaritan woman. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Just pause. I think everything that Jesus does is strategic. I think deliberately he sent the disciples away because he needed to have a one-on-one encounter with her. She needed to have a one-on-one encounter with Jesus, not with a crowd. When Jesus encountered me in my bedroom at 21 and wrecked me for years, and I believe in the come down to the altar, get whacked by the Lord, I believe in all of that, and I believe in the local church, and I believe that, you know, we're going to have encounters in the temple of God, but there's going to be encounters everywhere that we go. But if it never leaves this building and translate into a Monday to Saturday intimacy with the Lord, then all your perspective of God will be, it's the only time I can encounter him is when I come to church on a Sunday morning. And that's just a lesser gospel. That's good. We need that. And there are people that's where you're at. You're encountering the Lord on a Sunday. Praise God that you're encountering him. That's amazing. And you're going to encounter him here because he's here. He's in the room. But you can encounter him in your bedroom. You can encounter him on the toilet. It's close to the throne. And the Lord spoke to me when I had that encounter. He said, Liam, I encountered you in private because if you'd had an encounter with me in a church service, you would have believed that's the only place that you could encounter my presence. So here, the woman at the well meets Jesus. Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everyone say living water. All right, you're alive, that's good. She said to him, sir, if you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep, where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, or are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." All right, we're going to keep reading. We're going to read a big portion, but that's all right. You guys are ready. I can feel it. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands," important, "and the one whom you now have is not your husband," also important. "This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Are you still with me? Okay. True worshippers worship the Father in spirit and truth. "For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshippers. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he. Last bit. At this point, his disciples came and they were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Who do you speak? Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot, important, and went into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I have done. Is this not the Christ?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought him anything to eat, did he?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." All right. That was good reading. Church. That's church. All right. What does Romans 14 say? The kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Where is it? In the Holy Spirit. So in Colossians, it says that you've been transferred from the domain of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son, right? Romans, it says, consider yourself in the likeness of his death and consider yourself in the likeness of his resurrection. Hebrews, it says, boldly approach the throne of grace, right? So you and I have full access to the kingdom of God. What a great design. What a great creator that he says, "Hey, guess what? I'm going to take a broken vessel, pluck him out of the domain of darkness and make him brand new, born again from above, not born from this world, but born from above. I'm going to put my kingdom not only around him, but in him, and then send him back into the domain of darkness to grab a whole bunch of other people out of that." That's a good deal. And we've got to be so intimate with the Lord, not just to get something from him, but so that we're so possessed by him that that world doesn't influence us. "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewed mind." Why? To prove the will of God. The renewed mind and the transformed life proves God's will in your life. Right? So here Jesus, he meets this woman. Obviously, he gets a word of knowledge and he says, yes, she says, "I'm not married. I'm with the sixth man." Now, for all the Bible scholars in this room, she has had five husbands. What was she married to? Five represents the law. She was married to the law and currently she has no husband. So she's trying to do life without Jesus, and he's the seventh husband. Come on. She's the seventh. He's the seventh man in her life, which he's the one who completes her. He's the one who actually sets her free. He's the one that liberates her. And he's the one that says, hey, don't do this life alone. I want to be with you. And he gives her living water. What does John 7:37 says? It says, out of the innermost being flow what? Rivers of living water. Man, you got the Holy Ghost inside of you, but if we're not careful, if we're not intimate with him, it will become a bathtub. It'll be stagnant because you're living off yesterday's manna. So here, she gets an encounter with Jesus. She meets him face to face. And then she goes back. History will tell us, Petini is her name. And history will tell us that the woman at the well went back into Samaria and led the entire village to the Lord. Incredible. There's even, again, we don't know this for sure, but there's reports that she went to other villages and led multiple villages to the Lord. Incredible. So she's married to the law. She's saying, hey, listen, I'm with this other man. She encounters Jesus. She goes back into Samaria, leads that village to the Lord. Then the disciples come to Jesus and they said, hey, aren't you hungry? And Jesus says, I have food that you do not know of. All right, I want you to think. Are you ready? We're gonna do this quickly. In Ephesians 2:15, I'm just going to read it to you. But in Ephesians 2:15, it says this. Because this baffled me a little bit ago. We'll read verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. That's Paul's writing about Jews and Greek. He's saying that's been broken down. There's now one new man, and that's Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male or female. There's Jesus, right? There is male and female, but you just got to say that. All right. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace. Do you remember in Matthew 5, Jesus says, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it? Here he says, by abolishing the law of commandments. That baffled me. I was like, which is it, Jesus? Did you come to abolish the law, or did you come to not abolish the law? And if you read this word, it means katageo, which is to render entirely idle and useless. That's the word abolish in Ephesians 2:15. It's to render entirely idle and useless. Now watch this. The woman comes with her clay pot to draw water. She comes in the middle of the day because she's embarrassed, because she's been with five husbands. She's with a sixth. There's condemnation on her life. Jesus sends his disciples off so that he can have a one-on-one encounter with his bride. He has a father-daughter date with this woman. She encounters the living God. She encounters the living water. And then it says she leaves her clay pot behind. That isn't an accident. In John, it talks about the wedding at Cana with six clay pots. What's that represent? There's that number again. Six is the number of man without God. Jesus fills those clay pots with, well, they're with water, but he fills them and turns water into wine because, and he does it at a wedding, I believe prophetically, it's like when Noah landed on solid ground, he made a vineyard and planted into the promised land and turned something into wine. That's a prophetic picture of the new covenant that you and I get to live in. And here, Jesus renders the law useless. He makes it null and void in your life. He fulfills the law, but he says, hey, listen, you've come into the promised land. I want to give you food and drink that you do not know about. That word, food, where he says, I have food that you do not know about, it means this. There's a homonym, which it means the kingdom has nutrients that you do not know of. He says, I have a kingdom that there are nutrients that you do not know about, and I have drink that you do not know about. Let me just close with these few points. Don't worry, I will close. Jesus doesn't expose her sin so he can boast and reveal it. He exposes it to restore her. When we come into the kingdom of God, we need to leave our old vessels behind. We need to leave the clay pots behind. So many Christians are trying to, how much of this world can I bring into the kingdom? No, it's a completely different kingdom. It's the upside down, backwards kingdom. Leave the clay pots behind. When we encounter Jesus, we discover the boldness to preach what Jesus has done. And the last thought is this, and I'll just close with one story, but the food and drink that he's talking about, it's him. It's not another conference. I love conferences, but it's not that. The food and drink that he's talking about is him. He says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. I believe if we go after miracles, we'll get miracles. I believe if we go after revival, we'll get revival. I believe if we go after souls, we'll get souls. But I believe the Lord is looking for a Jesus generation, not a Jacob generation, not a Moses generation, not an Aaron generation, not a David generation. He's looking for a Jesus generation. And if you go after Jesus, you'll get everything else. I really believe that. And the food and drink is him. The food and drink is that when you meet him face to face one day, you won't be surprised because you'll know him as much on earth as you can until you get there one day. Yongyi Cho did a tour of America and 9 months, and he went around to different churches. You guys know who Yongyi Cho is? Leads the largest church in the world. And after 9 months, one of the pastors says, so what do you think? And he says, I'm amazed. And they thought, yes, we've made it. Yongyi Cho is giving us the tick of approval. And he said, I'm amazed at what people can do without the Holy Spirit. ...95% of what the church did in the early days, they couldn't do without intimacy with Holy Spirit. Sadly, not this house. I know they're going for it, but sadly, we level off because of our experience or lack thereof, and we never make the standard Jesus. We make the standard our experience or our lack of experience, when he is still the standard. He is still the one we're following. He's still the one on the throne, and he's the only one worth getting to know in that intimate way. And if we're not careful, only slight degree off, you end up going a fair way off in a few years. And my encouragement to everyone in this house, and I can hear it in Alex, I can hear it in Jess, and I love Alex's vulnerability as a pastor to get up and say, hey, I was in cruise control, but I want to go deeper with him. I want to go more intimate with him. I want to know this one called King Jesus on a deeper level. Can I ask you to stand? Can I get the band up or whatever you guys do? if you don't know Jesus in this room, you're like, hey, I remember preaching a message once that I'd preached 6 or 7 times in our church, and I thought, oh man, I sound like a beating drum, you know, I sound like a broken record. And there was this woman who'd been in church for 65 years, and she said, I've never actually given my life to Jesus. I've never actually said, Jesus, I want to make you not just Savior of my life, but Lord of my life. If you're in this room and you're like, hey, I know about God, you're like the Lionel Messi, you know about Him. You've heard Alex or Jess or someone in your life has maybe brought you here, and you're like, oh, I know about this Jesus, and I've seen pictures of Him, and I've heard different stories, but you don't actually know Him personally for yourself. You don't have an intimate relationship with Him, and you're like, hey, I'm broken, I'm struggling with addictions, or I'm trapped in sin. I'm telling you, the only way to full freedom is to become born again, to give your life to Jesus, say, hey, take what I was never designed for in the first place. You take it and let me have your righteousness, your holiness, your freedom, your mercy, your grace. If that's you and you're listening to my words right now and you're saying, hey, I want to know this Jesus that you're talking about, Liam. I want to know this person called Jesus. I would ask right now that you would just raise your hand in this room, and I'd love to pray with you just where you're at in this room right now. Every eye open. I want you to have your eyes open because I want to celebrate with you. If you're like, I need to give my life to Jesus right now, I want you to raise your hand where you're at. I'd love to pray with you today. Today's a good day to get saved. All right. You're all born again. Awesome. Come on. Oh, someone here. Awesome. Come on. What's your name, bro? What's your name, bro? Come down the front. I don't want to embarrass you. Come on, can we thank the Lord? Come on. He's born again. Archie's born again already. Come on. All right. Awesome. Awesome. Hey, I really feel like this is what the Lord's saying for this house. If you have been on cruise control and you're flowing from yesterday's manna, maybe you're still living and been past revivals. Maybe you're just like, oh, I remember when, I remember when, I remember when. But the Lord's saying, hey, it's time to come back into the bedroom and become intimate with me again. It's time to get alone with me, close the door in secret, and just be in tune with what the Father's saying, and to be current with His voice and current with His step, for no reason than just to know Him. For no reason than He just wants to know you. There are things you can do in the kingdom of God that are lesser. You know, with Mary and Martha? Martha chose the better portion. There are pizzas that you can order and make that Jesus isn't breathing on. And I believe the Lord is inviting this house to have a deeper encounter with Him again. So if that's you and you just want to kneel right now, you want to come to the front, I'd love to just pray for a corporate blessing just to go deep with Him again. That you're like, yes, I've been in cruise control and I need a deeper encounter with the Lord again. If that's you, if you're like, hey, I just want to start off this year right. I want to start off 2024 in the right place, in the right heart, in the right mind, in the right foundations, that the foundation of your house would be Jesus, the cornerstone, that it would be the great high priest, would be Jesus. Holy Spirit, right now I'd ask for your blessing that we do the works, Lord, but we don't do them to get closer with you. We do them because you're already in us. And I pray there'd be a realigning in our hearts this week, today, right now, for every single person that's down the front, every person that's responding to your word this morning, Lord, that your word, not my word, but your word would cut us deep, Lord, would cut us again for greater level of intimacy, that maybe where we've leveled off on revelation, that you would take us deeper, that you are the seventh man, you are our husband, you are our friend, you are our great deliverer. May we just not know about you, but may we know you deeply, Lord. May we drink of those clay pots, the wine, the fresh wine, the fresh wine of heaven, the fresh drink, the fresh food. There is food and drink available in the kingdom of God, church, that you do not know about, but it's there. It's accessible. It's righteousness, peace, and joy, and it's inside of you. Stir up the gift that is within them, the Holy Spirit. Stir it up within them, Lord. I pray for greater revelations, greater encounters. May there be a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.